This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna.
We're looking now at the trust deficit. Why audiences are avoiding the media. Now, one of the biggest challenges facing society today isn't a lack of information. It's knowing what information to trust. Now, a recent report highlighted that growing numbers of people are actively avoiding the news, citing concerns about bias, misinformation, negativity, and a general lack of trust in traditional media. Now, at the same time, more people are turning to social media personalities, also content creators, podcasts, and even artificial intelligence platforms as alternative sources of information. But what does this mean for democracy, for education, critical thinking, and the next generation of digital citizens? Joining us now to take a closer look at this interesting development, to put it mildly, we welcome back Lesedi Motsoaledi. Lesedi is a founder of Free Notes, also a tech entrepreneur, self-taught developer, and educational innovator. Lesedi, welcome back to High FM. Great to have you on board.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on. Such a pleasure to be on.
Great. When you hear that many people are actively avoiding the news because they no longer trust it, does that surprise you?
To be honest, not really. Not really, to be honest.
What do you think trust in media institutions has? Why do you think trust then has declined so significantly over the past decade?
I'd say there's a major reason and then maybe more of a minor reason. Mm-hmm. But I'd say on the major reason side, it's more coming from a perspective of how people are it's much easier for people to detect propaganda now. You know, prior, if propaganda was being provided, it was almost difficult to kind of verify it. Whereas now it is so easy to verify. You can go online, you can see a video on TikTok. If they're talking about a bank robbery and then they say the suspects were three giraffes or whatever, you know, just a random example. Someone can go online and then find someone recording that, no, it was rhinos that committed that crime. And it's like, wait, why is the news lying about this? You know, now it's harder to provide propaganda in terms of the major reason. And then the minor reason, I'd say, is also down to the lack of, like, the decrease in a monoculture. You know, back in the day, there was a monoculture where everyone was watching the same thing. Everyone was watching the same news channel at the same time, like every single day. Whereas now, everyone, they kind of in their own spheres. Some people are watching DSTV, some people are watching SABC, some people are watching Netflix, some people are watching YouTube. There's that lack of a monoculture, and the news is more of a subject of a monoculture. So I'd say that is the minor reason as to why.
Interesting, your definition regarding the monoculture culture, you could say, or school of thought, if we can put it that way. But at the same time, if you've got to, with social media, how reliant is that? You were talking now as to how individuals on social media are comparing notes. How reliable is that? How accurate is that instead?
To be honest, that's the unfortunate thing. As much as the news can be unreliable sometimes, in terms of people online, because the barrier to entry is so low, it can sometimes be very, very unreliable, because I know a lot of people in the space don't necessarily do their research. As someone who does their research before I do any videos, and I tend to do like a lot of research to make sure my videos are correct, there's a lot of people who will often do the bare minimum, or they'll copy paste what someone else is covering, or they'll just make whatever is quickest to get the views that they want because it's a trending topic. So that's the one major downside, I'd say. As much as it's democratized, it's also a bit of a negative, because that means if it's democratized, anybody can make a video. And if anybody can make a video, then that means even people who have bad interest or who don't have the right research will make a video. So that's the one downside, I would say.
How dangerous or prevalent do you think that individuality is right now? What are you interpreting there?
That's actually a very big question.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Lissette. I'm just curious as to what you're observing from that perspective at this point in time.
I think to a certain extent, I'm still a hopeful person, you know, and my hope comes from the fact that it's easier for the people watching to call that person out, you know. So sometimes that person can be called out, although sometimes they end up misleading a lot of people, which is horrible.
Yeah.
But because, you know, that individuality exists, another individual can make a response. Another individual can comment and be like, nope, this is incorrect. And the people who are able to kind of like criticize or go against that, they have almost an equal footing in terms of the fact that they can also reach out on that platform. They can also make a reply video. The only thing maybe that might hold them back is a follower count or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But I guess the hope is that even though there's the negativities of the individuality, there's also the fact that we can still counter and disagree whenever someone's wrong. And oftentimes the internet is able to overthrow someone if that person keeps like providing propaganda. You know how modern times they call it cancellations. So people who are going to come and share incorrect information regularly eventually get cancelled or get exposed.
We'll get back to the individuality aspect of this conversation, Lesedi, but I'd like to know about the role of technology and, of course, how AI now has surfaced and what the role it's playing in our everyday lives, especially AI. Mm. What role then does this play in either solving or worsening the trust problem for that matter?
Oh, my goodness. Because AI, it almost does both, which is, gosh, it's such a funny and annoying thing. Because on one side, AI, if someone's like lazy, like AI, and I mean, if someone's lazy and they just use AI without like verifying what they're looking through, then the AI can often hallucinate. And when that AI hallucinates and the person just takes it as fact, that's essentially a lot of misleading information, you know. That person, it wasn't their intention to mislead, you know, they were just too lazy to check the references, but they're essentially like adding towards it. But in addition to that, there's still some positives in terms of AI, because you can sometimes use AI to verify certain things that people are saying. You know, you can take certain facts and be like, okay, can you research and check the check different sources to confirm whether this person, what this person's saying is right? And then you check the response, and you can also check, because the thing is, it will also give you references, so you can also check your own references that you that your AI has given you to prove that that other statement is incorrect. So I'd say it plays a role in both, but we're still in the driving seat as humans, because it's the fact that why didn't you verify as a human? You know, for if EY or Deloitte in the different countries is using AI for reports and then they don't verify the reports, it's like you're also at fault. As much as you can say AI, but AI is the tool. You're at fault for how you're using it, you know. You have to take ultimate responsibility as the person.
Let's look at the issue of digital literacy. Let's look at now schooling, the education aspect regarding educators. Now, how should they then adapt to help young people distinguish credible information from false or biased content, given that that's where students are most vulnerable to accessing, well, social media platforms? They, we're looking at the teenagers now, even those who are entering their teens. Mm-hmm. They are so engrossed and embedded in this culture. Where do the educators fit in there?
Okay, that's a big question. And I think, interestingly enough, depending on the age, especially if it's like the late teens or early teens, ironically, to a certain extent, they would understand how the AI works better than their teachers generally, ironically, you know, just because of how younger people can adapt to tech a lot easier. They've been using it since they were born and stuff like that. So they can kind of pick that up. But then when it's the younger generations, that's a tough one, to be honest, because I have a niece, she's visiting right now. She's around 5. And whenever there's like dumb AI ads or whatever in a game that she's playing, it's like hard for her to determine that, you know? So I think especially for kids under 13, there's that responsibility for teachers to kind of try and fill in that gap and try and help them with misinformation, whether it's AI induced or just general misinformation. Sure. And in terms of, like, I don't know the correct methodology they could use, if I'm going to be honest, that I don't know. I don't work enough in the data space to have like a proper response to that. But I think that's definitely the age group that teachers should be targeting. And maybe teachers get given like a boot camp or an online course that makes it easier for them to explain. So an expert makes that course and then teachers watch that course. And then the teachers, you know, relay that information in a way that's understandable for the students. You know, I think maybe that would be the first solution.
Okay, so Lisely, that's from an educator's perspective. Let's look at your work with Freenotes. How are you then addressing issues of information access and trust?
Oh, so information access and trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd say in terms of access, is the main thing is about keeping things free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're making people be able to access that platform for free. Hopefully also, if you can, make it data free as well, which helps a lot, because then that provides access to kids who maybe don't have the data or the money to buy the data. So that's the access point. But then in terms of trust, that's when your name comes forward, you know, as a person. So for me as an educator, it's like my name comes forward in terms of doing well in high school, doing well at the university level, you know, and creating a previous platform that was also successful across university students. So now it's like taking that credibility that, okay, Lisely created this platform used by thousands, tens of thousands of university students across the country, and they trusted that platform and it was reliable. So now it's like, okay, using that name forward when I build a high school platform, saying, hey, this person has created this platform, it's been used by this and this many people. So it's more of your personal reputation and trust that comes into that. That's the angle I can come from in terms of that.
As a matter of interest, could traditional media at this stage regain trust from your perspective, or do you think that ship has already sailed?
I mean, personally, I still think they can gain trust, you know, because as much as I see the negatives, like I said, I'm still a very positive person. I still see a lot of positives in terms of the media, because they are held to, although, of course, if something's incorrect, it's sometimes pulled from a higher level, right? But if we exclude something being brought in from a higher level, the main thing with news organizations is that they have a higher barrier to entry in terms of the information that they share. They have a higher barrier to entry than us on social media. So that's where my trust is coming from, that at least that higher barrier of entry essentially creates a responsibility that they have to uphold, essentially. So I still have some hope that trust can be gained. On a global level, I don't know if people will get back to trusting, but I still have hope that people will still trust to a certain extent.
Lisely, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you once again for joining us on today's show. Lisely Mwachadibane, founder of Freenotes, also tech entrepreneur, self-taught developer, and educational innovator. Well, you joined us today. Lisely does is help young people navigate the digital world and unlock educational opportunities through technologies. And perhaps the takeaway in this conversation, in a world overflowing with information, critical thinking may be the most valuable skill of all. Well, do you personally trust traditional news media more or less or the same as social media, and why? For that matter, I'm asking you, where do you get most of your news or information today? Who do you trust? And let's look at schools. Should they teach media literacy as a core subject from an early age, given the world we are living in now, inundated with technology and so many platforms disseminating news every day, 24/7, more than 24/7?